بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن سهل بن عمرو، وقيل سهل بن الربيع بن عمرو الأنصاري المعروف بابن الحنظلية، وهو من أهل بيعة الرضوان رضي الله عنه، قال: مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ببعير قد لحق ظهره ببطنه، فقال: اتقوا الله في هذه البهائم المعجمة، فاركبوها صالحة وكلوها صالحة. رواه أبو داود بإسناد صحيح. As we mentioned yesterday, that this is a special qualification and cognizance is taken by the muhaddithin of those sahaba who took part in what we call Bay'atul Ridwan. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Then Allah is happy with those believers, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they took the oath of allegiance underneath the tree. In other words, in Hudaybiyah. This is referred to as Bay'atul Ridwan, plus minus 1500 sahaba. So when sahaba were in that group, that select group of 1500, because of the special basharat and glad tidings that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, in one riwayat it comes, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those sahaba who took part in Bay'atul Ridwan, Jahannam will not touch them. So we find that this is specially mentioned. If a sahabi was amongst them, it is highlighted. As we see, when the name of this sahabi is mentioned, Sahal bin Amr, it's mentioned that his actual name was Aus, and his actual name was Sahal bin Rabi' bin Amr. He was from the Aus tribe of the Ansar of Madina Munawwara. He was known by what we call his kunyat, or loosest English translation of kunyat will be nickname, but actually these were nickname, unfortunately doesn't fully make us understand what kunyat actually means. This was more like a title or the way they were recognized. This particular sahabi was known among sahaba-i-kiram as Ibnul Hanzaliyah. And Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, as I mentioned previously, the significance of it, mentions, وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْعَةِ الرِّضْوَانِ. He was from amongst the sahaba that took part in Bay'atul Ridwan. In fact, besides Badr, all the expeditions the sahabi took part in. 9 ahadith are narrated from him. He moved to Damascus in the later part of his life, and he passed away in the time of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The sahabi Sahal bin Amr or Sahal bin Rabi' bin Amr was specially known for always being in zikr, always being in tilawat, always being in nafil salah. He was always engaged in the ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a camel. قَدْ لَحِقَ ظَهْرُهُ بِبَطْنِهِ. This camel was starving. It had not been fed well. And the extent of the suffering of this camel was evident in its appearance. Where he describes it, he said, قَدْ لَحِقَ ظَهْرُهُ بِبَطْنِهِ. That the back was sticking to its stomach. To this extent, this animal or this camel had been mistreated. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw this, look at the literal translation of the warning and the caution that is given. Many of us, we like to keep pets. It's becoming very, very common. In fact, we heard of some places where somebody for whatever reason can't get children, then they try to supplant that relationship with some cat or some dog, etc. And they develop a very close bond and link with that particular animal. Keeping pets, this is not something that's supposed to be a sport or a recreation in Islam. Animals have a right. Particularly, because Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlights hadhil bahaimil mu'ajama. Mu'ajama, the closest explanation of it that ulama ikram give of this expression that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to describe animals is allati la tatakallam. Insan has a body, flesh and blood, and he has a soul and a ruh. Allah Ta'ala has blessed humanity that we can speak, we can articulate whatever is troubling us. Animals also are Allah's makhluk and creation. They also have a body, they also have flesh and blood, they also have a soul and a ruh. Animals also live and die. Like human beings live and die, animals also live and die. However, animals, la tatakallam, they cannot speak. So if you mistreat them, if you cause them unnecessary taklif, if you burden them unnecessarily, they, on the one hand, it's Allah's ni'mat. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءُ وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَى بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِيهِ إِلَّا بِشِقِّ الْأَنفُسِ إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Such a long expression Allah gives about animals. Allah says, we created it for you. We've given you warmth, shelter in animals. We use the wool of animals for our jerseys, for our blankets, etc. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْ وَمَنَافِعُ. Many other benefits. وَجَمَالٌ. Animals are a source of beauty, recognition, social status. Certain farmer got so many thousand, that one got so many thousand. حِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ وَتَحْمِلُوا أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِ. Even up till today, 14 centuries later, animals in certain parts of the world are used to transport. Allah Ta'ala says, أَثْقَالَكُمْ, your burden, your heavy objects. Animals are used to transport it to places where you can't transport it to. So many benefits Allah Ta'ala has kept. Allah says, we created it for you. Anything that was created for you is Allah's ni'mat, is Allah's bounty, is Allah's favor. And the important thing we need to understand, my respected brothers, wala tus'alunna. Wala tus'alunna is qasam. Allah says, we take an oath, you will be questioned. Anin Na'im, about the ni'mats and bounties that we gave you. Coming back to the point, animals, Allah put them into our service. Consider, for example, you get milk from a cow. If Allah had to raise the intelligence of that cow, do you think it is possible that that cow will give you the milk for free? How many years, how many centuries humanity is extracting milk? This is just one example. If that animal had a higher level of intelligence, it won't give you the milk for free. You're taking it for free. It's a living miracle, the manner in which that milk is formed. So that is Allah's ni'mat, Allah's bounty. Allah has placed these animals in our service. The least minimum requirement is to treat them in a kind and a compassionate manner. Ulama have enumerated more than 30 ahadith. More than 30 ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advocated kindness and compassion towards animal. This is one example of that. This camel, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed it. It was starving. It could be seen. It was evident this camel was not being fed properly. قَدْ لَحِقَ ظَهْرُهُ بِبَطْنِهِ. The stomach and the back were together. In other words, its back was sticking to its stomach. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned and he cautioned, ittaqullah, fear Allah. Fear Allah. Day is coming, Allah is going to question you. Fear Allah about this ni'mat and bounty that he gave you. Fi hadhihi al-baha'im al-mu'jama. In these animals particularly, because they cannot speak. So don't take advantage of them. As I mentioned, they have a soul. They can perceive pain. They can perceive starvation like human beings. But they cannot express their feelings in words. Hence, it makes it essential that they are treated with compassion, with kindness. Cruelty, unnecessarily overworking them, starving them, Allah Ta'ala is going to question this on the Day of Judgment. One very, very important point we need to take note of. If Islam gives animals rights to this extent, then what about your staff and your servants that are working for you? How much greater, to what greater extent are their rights? Sahabi comes, leave staff or servant. Slave, which is the lowest rung of the ladder, if you look at the social status. He says that, Ya Rasulullah, I have a slave. If my slave misbehaves, does wrong, didn't carry out my instruction, am I supposed to forgive him? Mafhum of the hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. Forgive him. Don't take him to task. The next question, how many times in one day? How many times in one day? What is the akhlaq and character of Islam? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if he does against your instructions 70 times in one day, then to forgive him. Now if that is how you are supposed to treat your slave, then what about your staff? What about somebody that is working for you? In fact, there are many sahaba, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw them inadvertently or ostensibly mistreating their slave, such a warning he gave them, that those sahaba say for the rest of their life they didn't employ anybody, they didn't keep anybody in slavery, no one worked for them, because they were so afraid of transgressing the rights. To that extent, if Islam places cognizance on the rights of animals like this, how much greater is the right? The least basic minimum is at least to speak decently. Today, unfortunately, many of us, the gurur or ghaman or pride of wealth enters the heart to such an extent that if we feel if you are paying a salary to somebody, it means that thereafter we have a right to speak to them how we want. Or don't worry about their feelings. This is a grave error and a mistake. We have to be very, very careful. Particularly we notice in many, mashallah, a person is 5-time namazi, going in tabligh, coming to masjid, everything. Yet you notice in their business environment, swear words. It has become, instead of the exception, it's become the norm. You break someone's heart, you hurt their feelings, you insult them unnecessarily, particularly staff, laborers, in this case even animals. We have to be very, very careful in this regard. So coming back to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this camel that was starving. So first part, he cautioned, he said, ittaqullaha fi hadhihi al-baha'im al-mu'jama. Fear Allah. Allah is going to question you. This is Allah's makhluk, it's a living being. Allah is going to question you, so be afraid of Allah Ta'ala when it comes to the rights of these animals that cannot speak or cannot express your injustice or how you are treating them or what you are doing to them. Then two other directives Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives in that hadith. We've run out of time, inshallah we'll continue tomorrow.